Well, there seems to be nothing radically wrong with you, Miss Pirbright.
Yeah, that's good.
Just continue with the tablets.
Yes, I will.
And I don't think another consultation will be necessary.
Oh, good. And I'll be off now.
Just a minute, Miss Pirbright, before you go. There's just one thing.
Yeah?
What about a little kiss?
I beg your pardon.
I know it's hardly professional etiquette, but you're a very attractive woman, Miss Pirbright.
Well, thank you, but...
Of course, I realize I'm no Ben Casey, but... Well... What about that kiss? Come along now. Don't keep me in suspense, Miss Pirbright. What's your answer?
That was an excerpt from Dr. Nell. The first nine series, a film worth remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for the more tolerant listener, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Crispin Noodle, the Lord Privy and his performing seal, Sir K.N. Tepper, Miss Evadne Electric Clock.
He'll give you a good time.
She'll continue. Sir Arthur Moe, the Sultana of Market Raisin, and of course Mr. Kenneth Hall, whose name is a household word.
Yes, what's out of the house?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to this, the first in the new series of Beyond Our Ken, the show which in a recent popularity contest was voted well up the poll. Well, you know, at the beginning of each new series, one always considers ways in which Beyond Our Ken can be improved. But unfortunately, Kenneth Williams has an unbreakable contract. All the rest of the gang are back. Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, and during the break, they've all been busy with one thing and another, most of the other. There was some suggestion that the orchestra might be conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent, but he's got such a string of engagements, the jazz festival at Bewley, deputy conductor to Victor Sylvester and Dancing Club, and so on. And so once again, we have Paul Fennelly and the Variety Orchestra. And by the way, their leader is John Jezold. Now, not everybody understands what the leader of an orchestra does. So I'll explain. Whenever the orchestra gets a bit lost in a tricky passage, John Jezold leads them through the passage to the canteen. We do have one newcomer this series, and that's our producer, John Simmons. As a producer, they say he has a great future. He started with the BBC 40 years ago, right at the bottom of the ladder, as a producer. Well, it's high time we began to launch this new series. And for a start, we've been having a look at the works of great classical novelists, like that famous author who sat up all night writing stirring adventure stories such as She and King Solomon's Mind.
Haggard?
So would you be if you sat up all night. Yes, it's Sir Henry Rider Haggard we've taken liberties with. Sir, Mr. Fennelly, a fanfare piece.
Fred Solomon's Mind, or Safari So Goody.
My name is Alan Watermain, and I'm just bursting to tell you my story. What a fantastic story it is. It all started when I met a man by the name of Sir Henry Kirk.
Ah, Waterman, glad you could come. I want you to meet my colleague here. This is the eminent surgeon, Dr. McAndrew, known to us all affectionately as Mac the Knife.
How do you do, Waterman? Privileged to meet the great white hunter. What a splendid pair of leopard skin trousers.
Thank you. I shot them last year. Well, Sir Henry.
Waterman and Doctor, first of all, it's necessary for me to tell you a story.
It's not the one about...
No, it's not. Some years ago, I was out hunting big game.
Might be Edgware Road again.
No, no. No. Yeah, I'm sure you do. This was the Zumpawawi country.
Ah, yes. I know the Zumpawawi natives well. Strange native rituals they observe. The Zumpawawi woman bedecks herself in garlands of wild flowers and rushes into the jungle. The Zumpawawi man rushes after her and then...
Zumpawawi.
Waterman. Do me a turn, cock.
time they keep quiet when I'm telling my story. Now, as I say, I was camped in the Zumpawawi country when one night a strange, bedraggled figure staggered into my tent. He had nothing on him but a map.
Did it cover much territory?
Enough to... well, enough to save any embarrassment. Now then, on that map, gentlemen, was the route to Fred Solomon's mine. What a man. I want you to lead a safari to the mines.
Sir Henry, it's madness to venture into that part of the world. The terrain is shocking.
All right, then we'll go by road.
It's a hopeless quest, but... All right, Sir Henry, I'll do it. We shall need a good guide.
I know one. She's a patrol leader in the Peewit Hole. you didn't mean a kind of guide.
No, no, we didn't, Doctor. Anyhow, I know just the chap. Ulumpa, Ulumpa.
You dare.
Come in, boss. Ulumpa, your faithful servant, is here.
What a shifty-looking individual.
No, no, stout chap, Ulumpa.
Yes, so we noticed.
All right, now, there's one other member of the party. Come in, dear. May I introduce Miss Eileen Gourlay.
Hello.
Good heavens, a white woman.
But what contribution can she make?
To the safari none, to the show, quite a lot. So sing, Eileen.
I've been married and married, and often I've sighed. I'm never the bridesmaid, I'm always the bride. I've never divorced them, I have the heart. Yet remember these sweet words, till death do us part. I married many men, a ton of them, because I wasn't true to none of them. Because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive. Sir Paul was frail, he looked a wreck to me. At night he was a horse's neck to me. So I performed an appendectomy to keep my love alive. Sir Thomas had insomnia, he couldn't sleep at night. I bought a little arsenic, he's sleeping now, all right. Sir Philip made the harp, I cut the thing. I crowned him with the harp to bust the thing. And now he plays the harp, so I just sing to keep my love alive. Sir Francis was a singing bird, a nightingale, that's why. I tossed him off my balcony to see if he could fly. Sir Athelstane indulged in fratricide. He killed his dad and that was patricide. One night I stabbed him by my matricide to keep my love alive. To keep my love alive.
Jolly nice, Eileen. Lovely to have you with us. Now, well, gentlemen, we leave tomorrow.
So, next day, from a house in North Finchley, they set out on their treacherous trail into the unknown.
It's no good. I can't stand it anymore. It's no good, dear. I can't stand it. Oh, the heat, the flies. It's unbearable. I can't go on. Oh, you must listen to me. I can't go on. I can't.
We've only got as far as Clapham Common.
On and on they journey, deep into the impenetrable jungle, where the hand of man has never set foot.
Sir Henry, look out! A snake! Quickly, where's your club?
Pall mall, but I hardly think it's a...
Stand back! Good shot, Watermain! You've got the snake!
I was aiming at Sir Henry. Where's your club, pall mall? I...
All right, all right. What is it?
They are through the trees.
It's a deserted kraal. We may as well camp there for the night.
Good idea. Let's creep into the kraal, have a kip, and creep out again.
Come on, then. Let's make camp.
Numpa, what is it?
Natives everywhere. Look, we are surrounded.
What are they saying?
Well, as far as I can make out, rhubarb.
Look, they're coming towards us.
Who's that leading them?
It is Gagool, the wicked old witch.
She doesn't fool me, and her little laugh anywhere. It's Eddie Malston.
Foolish white men to trespass in Gagool's kingdom. I have lived here for generations.
You don't look a day over 650.
So you are the infamous Gagool.
I am.
I see you are wearing many jewels around your person.
Yes, I love jewels. Diamonds are Gagool's best friend.
I wouldn't mind betting they came from Solomon's mine.
So, you'll know about Solomon's hidden treasure. Well, you'll never reach it. No one ever has. My evil spell has been cast on all the white men.
You evil, telling old witch.
Glad you read that carefully.
No, my friends, don't underestimate the goal. Many men have tried, but all have failed. The last white hunter who ventured near the mines was overcome by attacks of dizziness.
Did he have vertigo?
Only 2 or 3 miles. There is no escape.
Yes, all right. Wasn't that funny? Come on, Sir Henry, let's make a run for it.
To the lamp!
Quatermain, in a tree behind you, an assegai.
Yes, an assegai that threw it over there.
Seize them! Now you shall have a sample of the ghoul's magic.
Good heavens! I'm rooted to the spot. Sir Henry, what's happened?
The old black magic has you in its spell. You turned into a tree.
What? So I have.
Ha! What is it?
Ha! My foliage has got the blight.
Well, it's nothing. Your bark's worse than your blind.
Do something, for goodness sake. I can't stand like this.
What is it now?
Get that squirrel away from me.
You fiendish devil, Gagool, you'll pay for this. Now you shall see some of the white man's magic. Doctor, show us something startling.
Me? I don't know any magic. I can't even turn into a lay-by.
We must think of something, and quick. Watermain, any ideas?
No good asking me. I'm stuck here as a tree, remember. I'm well and truly numbered.
So much for the white man's magic. Now my chief warrior will deal with you. Mogompo!
He looks a nasty bit of work. Look at that bone stuck through his nose. Is that some tribal custom?
No, he was eating a leg of chicken and someone jogged his elbow. Well, Mogompo, you shall decide their fate.
Henry, we must think of something.
Wait, I have an idea. Let's have a look at your nautical almanac.
Eh? Oh, right. Here you are. What are you thinking of?
Well, you'll see. Yes, I was right. In a few minutes, the eclipse of the sun is due. Gagool, now you shall see the white man's magic. In a moment, we're going to be completely in the dark.
You men are all alike.
I command darkness.
You were right, Sir Henry. Everything's gone black.
You speak for yourself.
It worked. The natives have fled. Now then, Gagool, you take orders from us. First, change Watermain back to himself.
Oh, very well.
Welcome back, Watermain.
Oh, it's good to be myself again.
I preferred him as a tree.
Now, Gagu, you will lead us to Solomon's Mine.
On and on we journeyed across the twin peaks of the Lollobrigida Mountain, and finally, at last, we came to our destination.
There is the entrance to Solomon's Mine.
It's a huge cavern in the rocks, and everywhere you look, a sparkling stone.
Inside it is filled with silver and jewels.
Yes, and baby, it's gold outside. Follow me.
It's fantastic.
So this is where Solomon's treasures is hidden.
There must be a fortune in the boxing game.
I mean, look at that big chest of jewels.
That's me, you fool.
Wait. Keep still, everyone. Sir Henry, look. Over there. Figure of a man huddled in the corner.
Good heavens, yes.
And he is alive.
Who can it be?
I think I know. Leave this to me.
Watermane went over to the pathetic figure in the corner. Then he uttered the immortal words,
Dr. Livingstone, I presume.
And back came the immortal reply.
No, Tom Edna-Bow.
Now, who's that other little group in the corner? The Fraser Hayes Four.
Never be sorry, listen to this. Here's a story about a boy and girl together. The lights are kind of low as they exchange affection. The line begins to flow.
First she tries to tell him his charm she can't resist. Then she tries to sell him it's the first time she's been kissed.
It goes in one ear and out the other. Round the room. Across the floor, little echoes get together, and they all go bouncing out the door.
I know Mother worries, I must be home by 10.
She knows that someone's waiting, and she'll go right out again. First she tries to tell him that she can't resist, then she tries to sell him that she's never been. Kiss mother, all his worries must be home by 10. If someone's waiting, she's alone again. He gives her a story, there's lots of dough. He thinks she believes, he doesn't know, but he better get wise. Gotta quit taking those alibis.
Little echoes,
get together. From the room, off the wall, in the den, down the hall. Bouncing in, bouncing out.
Bouncing in, bouncing out. Bouncing out the door. And so, to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on sports and hobbies.
At least those that we can discuss. And first of all, we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Thank you.
Very nice of you to ask.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Now,
yes.
you're from Chelsea, I believe.
That is correct, yes.
You're one of the pensioners.
No, I'm one of the football team. Oh, yes.
But that's incredible.
Yes, I've been a footballer now for longer than I care to remember.
I suppose you wouldn't care to tell us how long?
I'd rather not say.
You won't tell us how many years?
No, not this series, no.
Oh, very well, never mind. Instead, perhaps you'd like to recall your most thrilling incident.
Oh, yes. Oh, I remember it well.
Good.
We was playing away. Rather a rough lot they was, all
big strapping blokes, and I was keeping out the way as much as possible. And then the ball come across to me. I raced down the wing, no one stopped me, across to the centre, steadied the ball, and I was just going to shoot when suddenly they were all round me feet.
The other players?
No, me football drawers.
I'm sure, yes. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you. One sport gaining in popularity through extensive television coverage is All In Wrestling.
Hey, Brian, next up, we have in the red corner, the terrible Turk of Tottenham. And in the blue corner, the mad mauler of Mitcham.
Hello, Rod Dan.
Hello, John. I say we haven't fought together for ages.
I know. Well, how's every little thing?
Oh, can't complain. I suppose we had to keep the customers happy. Remember this one?
Yes, that's one of your favorite holes.
Where are you, Charles?
Sitting on your head.
It's quite like old times. Yeah. I must say, those tights of yours are a bit much.
Nonsense, Rod. They're only edged with mink.
A little ostentatious, don't you think?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. Remember my interlocking half Nelson and head hole?
Yes.
Well, I've given it a new twist. Look, let me show you.
Go, Eddie.
That's for not liking my apparel.
I see. Well, if that's the way you want it.
I got it. That does it. You've gone too far. I shall never fight with you again.
What's the matter? You hurt?
No, but look, you've lathered my tights.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Horner Armor who are waiting to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table, we welcome the well-known television reporter, Rife Hobbitson.
Good evening. And to all my friends in the Orkneys, may I say, au revoir and bail your heed.
Thank you. Now, next to him, another newcomer, this time from the world of show business. New recording star, Ricky Livid.
Hello, now. TL4021.
I beg your pardon?
My latest record. I want to be Bobby's mate.
Next, we have one of the popular regulars on the panel, our Wizard of the Whisk, Fanny Haddock.
Hello. it's so nice to be with you again. And I hope you'll all be able to have a nibble at my tutti frutti.
And finally, here's our lovable old countryman, Venus in blue corduroys, Arthur Fallowfield.
While the winter gives us farmers a chance to rest, and I don't mind telling you, I've been at it all summer. In the fields, in the hedgerows, in the barn, at it all the time. And I must say...
Yes, thank you very much. Well, that's our panel, and so to this week's question, which comes from...
James McGuffey. Oh. In my own particular work, it calls for a lot of mental strain, and it's not at all easy to relax. Therefore, I should like to ask the team if they could recommend a good hobby.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. Rife Hobbitson.
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult to suggest a hobby for someone else. I mean, we all know what we like ourselves.
You can say that again.
Now, Ricky Livid, what's your opinion?
I don't know, really. I like the backing. It got a good beat, and the backing was very good.
Yes. We are not discussing records, Mr. Livid.
You're not discussing... Oh, I see. silly me. I still like the backing, because I always do.
Yes, but the question is concerned with hobbies. Well?
Oh, well, I wish my manager was here. I don't say nothing without him.
No. Well, do you think you could venture an opinion this once, just for the record?
I like the backing.
Never mind. Fanny Haddock.
Well, why doesn't he take up cooking? Oh, it's a fascinating hobby, and it's such fun to experiment. As even well-known old dishes can be made interesting.
Why don't you have a go at yourself?
Believe me. There are hours. Indeed, there are hours and hours of enjoyment to be had in the kitchen. When I think of the fun I've had stuffing cabbages and getting my onions pickled.
Yes, well, that's one suggestion, isn't it? Now, what about you, Fallowfield?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. I mean, what better relaxation can any man want than when he's got his spade dug well into the good, rich earth? I mean, no, there's nothing more exhilarating than creeping out of the farmhouse in the early hours of the morning and going all by yourself into the middle of a field and just stand there cogitating. Oh, the wonderful feeling.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, now, that's it for this week. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be commissionaires. Do they get a standing wage? Also, next week's program, there'll be a talk on safer motoring on the M1, given by Tommy Steele. And a well-known cat will be telling us why he intends to leave all his money to an old lady's home. So, until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener in Worcester. Is a sleeping fish necessarily a kipper?
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, the Fraser Hayes Four, Eileen Gourlay, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Menneman wrote the script, and the show is produced by John Simmons.